Bibles and go to Psalm chapter 48 tonight. Psalm chapter 48. Psalm chapter 48, and we're going to read the entire chapter, all 14 verses. So Psalm chapter 48, starting in verse number 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We've thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Father, we do thank you this evening for your goodness. Do thank you for the showers that came. Lord, we thank you for just not only the showers that came upon this earth, but Lord, the showers of blessings in our life that you bestow upon us every day. Father, may we recognize those blessings every day and may we thank you and praise you for them. But Father, I do thank you for your goodness towards your people. I thank you that you are our guide even unto death. However that may come for any of us, Lord, it comes in different ways. But Father, we know that death is just the doorway into eternity, into your presence, where our body will be changed into a glorified body, where our faith truly will become sight the moment that we see our Savior face to face. Thank you for the place that you have prepared for us, that only your hands could prepare. Thank you, Father, that Jesus went to that place to prepare a place for all those that would put their faith and trust in him. Thank you, Father, again, for the joy that we have now walking upon this earth as we walk with our Lord and Savior. Father, we ask that you speak to our hearts tonight through these words. We ask that you speak to the hearts of the children. We ask that you would, Lord, give us the light that we need, Father, in our life every day to have the wisdom, the discernment that comes from you. I pray that you would, Lord, encourage your people tonight, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to us about the greatness of God. And the last song that they chose to sing tonight, the first song they chose to sing as well, having a shelter in time of storm, knowing we just had a storm roll through here. But even the last song, what a wonderful Savior, because we do have a wonderful Savior tonight who hears our prayers, who answers our prayers, who gives us the encouragement, the grace that we need each and every day. And as we reflect upon the goodness of God tonight and his greatness, I want to just read these words again. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. Always remember, he is your Jesus. David would often say in the Psalms, my God, emphasizing the fact that he had a relationship with God. God was not some distant God that didn't care about people, but he's a personal God that cares about each and every single person, and he cares about all of his children. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Let those words ring in your heart tonight that you do have a wonderful Savior in Jesus Christ, not just giving us the gift of salvation, but giving us a life that's full of hope, a life that has meaning, a life that has purpose, and a life that is filled with the joy of the Lord. In verses 1 and 2 of Psalm chapter 48, it says, Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Again, one day you and I will see our Savior face to face. Our faith will truly be turned to sight. We walk by faith now, but one day we'll walk by sight as we walk hand in hand with our Lord and Savior. Tonight I want to talk to us about the greatness of God. And as Psalm 48 says, great is the Lord. And our God is great in all that he does. He is great in everything he does in our life. Everything he allows in our life is good. It is for our good and his glory. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and go to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Because tonight is just going to be a Bible study on the greatness of God, looking at some different Bible references. And the first thing, looking at his greatness, and we'll look at the fact that God needs to be glorified by his people. But starting at Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 24, as we talk about God's greatness. And because God is so great, there's nothing our God cannot do. There are no other gods beside the one true living God. In verse 24, it says, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? Again, there is no God other than our God. There are many that worship false gods, and that's truly what they are, false gods that can do nothing for them. False gods that cannot create anything out of nothing by their word, because they have mouths, but they cannot speak, the Bible tells us. But our God is great because his word is powerful. His comfort is everlasting. His peace passeth all understanding, and the joy that fills our heart comforts us to the ends of the earth. Look at Psalm 77. Psalm 77, I don't know how long the message will be tonight. Again, I just want to go over some verses on the greatness of our God and the glory of our God to encourage us in whatever we may be facing this week, knowing that our God sees it all and he has all the answers, and he still has arms that do save. He still has ears that are not too heavy to hear. He still has eyes that have not dimmed to where he cannot see where we're at and where we need to go. And his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. In Psalm 77, look at verses 9 through 15. As the psalmist asks the question, hath God forgotten to be gracious? And obviously the answer is always no. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Selah means to pause and to think. Has God forgotten to be gracious? In his anger, has he shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. It's important that we always remember God's goodness in our life. From the moment that he saved us, the moment we cried out to him for salvation and the gift of salvation was given and the Holy Spirit was given to us and had the Holy Spirit of God's taken up residence in our life, from that moment until now, he's never done us wrong. And even prior to that, he's never done us wrong, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And he has guided all of us according to his will up until this very moment tonight. And we need to not forget his goodness. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. The reason why many of God's people forget the goodness of God is because they don't think about his goodness. They don't consider his goodness even in times of trials. They don't think about his goodness in their life when they're facing some type of tragedy. Again, if God doesn't do another good thing to any of us, truly he's done great things. He's done way too much. That's the way I think about it in my own personal life, is God has done so much already for me that if he doesn't do another good thing, yes, I'll be tempted to complain, but I will not have, as some would say, a leg to stand on. I will not have a real reason to complain because he's done great things in my life. And the psalmist goes on to say, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? There is no other God than our God. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph." Look at Psalm 95, if you would. Psalm 95. And verses 3 through 6. You know what? Even start at verse number 1. Verses 1 through, we'll even go 1 through 7. "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." We sung the song, the cleft of the rock, Jesus Christ. "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God." The fact is that he is our God. I was reading earlier, I forget if it was Habakkuk or one of the other prophets, the other minor prophets in the Old Testament, but he was talking about the fact that there were those that would make idols, graven images, that would bow down and worship them. He even talked about, I believe it was the Ninevites. The Ninevites would burn incense to their fishing nets, because they would go out fishing, they would catch a great draft of fish, a great catch, and they'd worship the net as though the net had blessed them. But yet when we're in the New Testament, Peter and those that were fishermen didn't catch anything all night, and Jesus said, "Cast your net on the right side," and at his word, Peter let down one net, which filled up so much with fish it started to break. It is God that gives us the abundance. But there are those that worship their hands and worship what they think has given them prosperity in their life. But you and I know as we read Scripture, it's the God of heaven that gives us prosperity. It's the God of heaven that gives us good success in our life. It may not be financial success, but the best success you and I can have is the success in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, who, as the psalmist says, is our Maker. It says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Look at Psalm 104. Psalm 104 in verses 1 through 5. And these are just a few verses that talk about the greatness of God. You know that if you start at Genesis 1:1 and go all the way to Revelation chapter 21, you will see the greatness of God in every chapter of this Bible. In Psalm 104 and verses 1 through 5, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever." Again, we serve an awesome God. If God can lay the foundations of the earth, if God can create even just the universe, and as it's considered just being as curtains, you know, one day those curtains will be opened. Right now, man thinks that they're can get to the end of the universe, but they'll never get to the end of the universe. One day, they'll see the Maker of the universe, the very one who they denied. But you and I tonight know the greatness of our God. In Psalm 135, it says, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, and in earth, and the seas, and all deep places. For I know that the Lord is great." Tonight, do you know the Lord is great? Tonight, do you remember the greatness of God? As the storm rolled in tonight, I was reminded of the greatness of God. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and we were just saying, you know, we need some rain. God knows exactly what his earth needs. I was reading another portion of scripture this afternoon, and God was talking to his people saying if he was hungry, he would not tell them. Because the earth is his and the fullness thereof. The wild beasts, all the animals, all the creeping things belong to him. And I always laugh when I read that scripture that God says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. Because not a single person can satisfy God's need. God has no needs that need to be satisfied, but we do. We have needs that need to be satisfied, and only our great God can satisfy those needs. Only our great God can answer our prayer requests and guide us according to his will. But the God of this world, as the Bible calls him, the little g, the little God of this world, the devil, wants to change the minds of God's people, wants us to cause us to think that our God is not great because of certain things that go on in our life. He wants us to be filled with fear and doubt against our God and not trust our Lord. But the more that you and I read his word, the more we become confident in our faith that we truly are serving and following and worshiping the only great God, the only one that keeps life moving. He's the one that has breathed life into each of us. He's the one that guides our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he is to be glorified. Look at Revelation chapter 4 real quick. I know that you know these verses tonight. There are many times we need to remind ourselves about the greatness of God. We know that he's great. You know that saying, God is good and God's good all the time. Yes, we know that. But sometimes our soul needs to drink in the living word of God and be reminded of his greatness and reminded that he can turn the heart of any man, woman, or child to himself. And he answers our prayers as we cry out to him on behalf of our loved ones. But in Revelation chapter 4, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Again, we know that God created all things, but he created all things to worship him. He has given you and myself breath in our lungs to worship him on a daily basis, to glorify him for his greatness. Again, Psalm 48 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Look at Psalm 107 as we think about glorifying God for his greatness. And it's not a once a week time to worship the Lord. It's not twice a week, Sunday, Wednesday, but it's every day of our life. You and I are to glorify God for his greatness. Because you know what? The more we think about his greatness, the more we read about his greatness in his word, the more our faith grows towards him. Because it is true, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If our faith starts to wane, if our faith starts to diminish, it's because we're slacking on our Bible reading. I know that to be true myself because it's happened in my life at different times where I read the Bible for quantity and not quality. I read it because, okay, I need to read, need to get as much in as I can just to get it in, but I'm not spending that quality time. There's a difference between reading just to read and reading God's word and it being soaked in. There's a difference because as the Bereans, Paul mentioned the Bereans, I believe in 1 Thessalonica, that they were more noble because they searched the scriptures. Do you know what it's like to read the Bible and just feel yourself soaking in every word that you're reading? And then you also know what it's like to read God's word, and you know you're really not soaking it in. You know what it's saying, but you don't feel your soul is drinking it in. That's the best way I can describe is the fact that your soul drinking in the word of God. I mean, it's like on a 99 degree day, 100% humidity, and you're just longing for some cold ice water, and you get it, and you're just chugging. Ah. I mean, that's what it does for the soul. But in Psalm 107, all throughout this psalm, this phrase is said over and over again. Look at verse 21. But over and over again throughout this psalm, this phrase or this, I'll say this sentence, this verse is repeated over and over again. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We know what it's like to have the goodness of God in our life. But when was the last time we thanked God for his goodness in somebody else's life? You often hear people complain about something good happening to somebody else that didn't happen to them. Sometimes you might hear that even at work. Someone complaining about somebody else getting a job promotion or something good happening in their life, and they're not happy because it didn't happen to them. We ought to be thankful when God blesses somebody else, when God blesses another child of his. We're thankful when he blesses us, and we should, because God seeks to be praised. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Again, as we meditate on the greatness of God every day and we praise him with our lips because it's in our heart, because out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said, and as our heart is filled with gratitude towards God and his goodness, we begin to glorify him for his greatness, and he desires for his children to glorify and to praise him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We praise him as Hebrews 13, 15. Verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 13 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." I believe the verses preceding that talk about the fact that the blood of bulls and goats is not what God desired, though it is what he told. It is what he gave the Israelites to do. They were to bring a blood sacrifice, but it was their heart that he was wanting. Because I believe it's in Isaiah. It's either Isaiah or Ezekiel. I believe it's Isaiah, but he talks about with their lips they praise him, with their lips they glorify him, but their heart is turned from him. So yeah, they were to, in the Old Testament, bring those blood sacrifices, bring the different types of sacrifices that he wanted, but he was always looking at the heart. He always wanted the heart more than the sacrifice, and that's why he says in Scripture that the blood of bulls and goats is not what he wanted, but he wanted sacrifice of praise. And when you think about Jesus Christ sitting in the temple and watching those coming in and casting in their offering into the treasury, and he took notice of the widow woman and says she cast in all that she had because he noticed her heart. She wasn't just doing it because she knew she had to, but her heart was in it. She wanted to be part of worshiping God through her tithe, through her offering, and God recognized that she had given all and she had no regret whatsoever about it, because it's all about glorifying and praising God. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." The greatest time that we can give thanks to his name and is when situations are out of our control. Because that proves that we truly do believe we have a God who is great and a God who can do wonders in any situation that we're in. It's easy to praise God when things are going good. It's a little harder when things are not going so good. But it's in those moments that we praise God in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the tragedy, in the midst of the trial, that our focus stays on the very one that deserves our praise, because he has brought us through life and will continue to bring us through this life. Look at Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Psalm 69, look at verses 30 through 32. Actually, I'm going to back up here. In verse 29, so Psalm 69, starting at verse number 29, "But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs." And he's speaking about the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices. He's saying the thanksgiving that comes from his heart is more than the ox and the bullock. It's what God wants. "The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God." What a wonderful truth that is. Look at Psalm 67. Back up maybe a page. Psalm 67. Read the entire chapter. "God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him." Again, one of the greatest blessings in praising God is the fact that you and I, our hearts will be full of joy. Our hearts will be full of gratefulness more than when we started, because our focus is on the one who loves us more than anything, the one who has laid down his life, the one who raised again to give us victory, the one who walks with us and talks with us, the very one who has all the answers. You know, I can't make people do right. Neither can you. I can't make people think right. I can't make people read their Bibles. I can't make people trust in God. But what I can do is make myself do those things. Make myself do those things. Make myself keep that focus on the greatness of God and the goodness of God. Remember, the Israelites thought God had brought them out into the desert to kill them, because they were hungry, they were thirsty, 3 days into the wilderness, and yet they forgot God brought them through the Red Sea. Never forget where God's brought you from and where God has brought you to. Isaiah 38, verse 18, "For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me, therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." If you don't, let me encourage you to listen to some good godly music that will put your heart in the right place, that will put your focus upon the Lord. Good godly music will always point us to our Savior and will always cause us to sing His praise. That's why we sing the songs even tonight. All the ones we sang, The Shelter in Time of Storm, what a wonderful Savior we have, because it reminds us, you know what? We have a wonderful Savior. We have a Savior who has redeemed us, as it says. We're redeemed. The price is paid. He paid the price. That reconciled my soul to God. And now He reigns and rules therein and triumph in each trying hour. The world shall never share apart. You know what? The world can't share apart in the glory that we give God, because the world doesn't know what God has done for us. But we know what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Someone's life was changed so much that they wrote those words. Someone's life was so changed they put it to music. One of the other ones that we sang was written by Fanny Crosby, who lost her eyesight. Even though she lost physical eyesight, yet she had spiritual eyesight. I might physically see with my eyes, but can I spiritually see the goodness of God? Can I spiritually see what God's doing in my life? Remember, Elisha had to ask God to open the eyes of his servant so the servant could see that there were more with them, more with him and the servant, than with the enemy army. And God opened his eyes and he saw the mountains full of the heavenly host. And the Bible reminds us, look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. We all face things in life, but every day we face the temptation not to praise the Lord, not to think about his greatness and to be thankful. Look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100, as we can give thanks out of a pure and true heart to the one who deserves all thankfulness. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, it reminds us. Again, I just want to say this from the beginning. I know it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Sometimes we don't, because our hearts are heavy, our minds are clouded. But as soon as we open up the hymn book and allow ourselves to sing the words, it breaks the ice, it breaks through, and helps our focus to be right and our hearts to be ready as God opens his word to us after the singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. We should. I know sometimes, at least for me, in my lifetime, I've gone to church, and I've said this before, I've gone to church not with the right attitude because of whatever the day had, whatever happened in that day. But honestly, if my focus is on God when I go to church, it doesn't matter what happened in the world. Doesn't matter what happened in that day. I'm going to a place that has been sanctified, set apart as a place to come before God among other believers to worship our God who is great and our God who is worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. So it is wrong for us to come into the house of God without having a right heart. I say, well, you know, I got to the steps and I still didn't feel right. Well, then I'll say me. I should pray before entering in the house of God and saying, Lord, help me have a right heart, because I don't want to enter in here and cause the Holy Spirit to be grieved where I don't hear from you. I want to hear from you. I want to feel your presence. I want to walk away with exactly what you have for me. It all starts with being thankful and having that thankful heart and not allowing the enemy to rob us of the joy of the Lord. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth for all generations. I'm glad his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. God's word never fails. In any generation, his word's never failed. In any generation, his word has not become a lie, because it is truth. Because he is truth, and Jesus said, sanctify them by thy word, or by thy truth, and thy word is truth. In Psalm 107, verse 22, it says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Look with me at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Because if you and I will honestly think about each day we're in, whatever we might think is wrong with the day in our life, what's going on in our life, it could be a lot worse. Just lately, I've had that thought because of different things that have gone on, things I've been associated with. You know what? It could be a lot worse. And whenever you're in some situation you think is already worse, and you think, well, how can it get worse than this? I could not have the presence of God in my life. I could not have spiritual ears to hear His voice speaking to me. I could not be in the hand of God, as Jesus talks about us being in the palm of His hand and in the palm of the Father's hand, and no man can pluck us out of His hand. It could always be worse. And the greatest thing about it is we have a great God who's walking with us, a great God who's watching over us, a great God who always can come to our aid when we call upon Him. Colossians 1, look at verse 11 through 14. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God made us meet. God made us acceptable. God made us able to be partakers of the inheritance. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. God is the one that has done this in our life, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. God's the one that's done it. God's the one that has transformed our life and by the power of Christ has made us become the sons of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, again, we're reminded, everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Again, if God never does another good thing in our life, we need to still continue to praise His name, still continue to thank Him for what He's done and for the place He's prepared for us. But I'm glad that God continues to do good things in your life, in my life. He continues to show Himself mighty. He continues to answer our prayers. He continues to guide our steps, but we need to recognize it on a daily basis. We need to remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Always, 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 He's always there. The world is a liar. The world cannot satisfy the longing soul. The world cannot give eternal life. The world robs people of happiness. The world robs people of joy. But Jesus Christ, we know, is the one that gives the joy, the everlasting joy. He's the one that gives the grace to go through this life. He's the one that helps us to look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. He's the one that reminds us of God's greatness. How marvelous, how wonderful is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.